for joining us. I'm Diane Rehm. From the moment news was out that President Obama had won the Nobel Peace Prize, it was politics as usual. Democrats were pleased and, like everyone else, stunned. Many Republicans were downright contemptuous. Joining me in the studio to talk about what the Nobel Prize means for the president's domestic and international agenda, E.J. Dionne of the Brookings Institution and Todd Lindbergh of the Hoover Institution. We are going to take your calls, 800-433-8850. Send us your email to drshow@wamu.org. And before we begin, we'd like to welcome our new affiliate, WNYC in New York. We're on for 1 hour in the evening at 9 o'clock. And we're delighted to welcome that very, very special affiliate to our growing list. Good morning to both of you.
Good morning. Good morning. Good to have you back. WNYC, I think, was founded by Mayor LaGuardia many years ago.
I think that's exactly right. Yes. I think so, E.J.
Well, by the city itself, under Mayor LaGuardia.
Tell me what your reaction was to the announcement of President Obama's win.
Well, the honest thing is that when I heard it on NPR early in the morning, I was surprised like everybody else was. And who knew that the White House would have to do damage control on the president winning the Nobel Peace Prize? It was really extraordinary. I want to sort of step back and ask the question, were the folks in Norway, was the Nobel Committee crazy to nominate and then choose Obama? And I think there's a case to be made for what they did, and I want to start there, which is they, like a lot of people, particularly in Western Europe, we're very happy to welcome the United States back to a more internationalist, less unilateral approach to foreign policy that characterized, I think you could say, both the first President Bush's presidency and President Clinton's. On top of that, they saw Barack Obama as a transformative figure. They looked at his speech to the Islamic world, his call for a nuclear-free world, a goal, by the way, he shared with Ronald Reagan, and they said this is worthy for a prize. I don't think that's nuts. A lot of people are saying they were nuts to do this. Now, a couple of problems. The first is we are in such a deeply divided political moment that a lot of people immediately jumped on them and said, you know, this is premature. And by most definitions, it is premature. And this is a terrible idea. They did this to get at the second President Bush. There may have been an element of that in this, but I think they were more sending a message. I think the person who felt that maybe this wasn't the best thing in the world was Barack Obama himself. When he came out and, you know, and accepted this award.
With announced, humility.
Yes, he knew immediately the way this was going to be played, and he spoke accordingly. I think he was very wise to express that humility and say this is for things we want to do in the future.
E.J. Dionne at the Brookings Institution. He's also a columnist for the Washington Post. Todd Lindbergh, your turn.
Well, it's going to be turning into one of those questions, where were you when you heard that Barack Obama had won the Nobel Peace Prize? And I'll admit to being as surprised as anybody else upon hearing the news. I think the one thing that you should ask yourself, I think, is what's more prestigious than the Nobel Peace Prize at the moment? And internationally, I think one answer to that would have to be Barack Obama. If you look at the, for example, the polling that the German Marshall Fund of the United States has done, the Transatlantic Trends Survey in Europe, you see numbers that go from, say, a 12% approval rating for the American President George W. Bush in Germany in 2008 to an 82% approval rating of the American President in 2009, Barack Obama. Similar figures in Italy, all around the world. He is a very popular figure. Oddly enough, the Nobel Committee in Norway may actually have brought a little prestige upon itself by the conveying of the award upon him. Now, of course, that's a very different question from how it looks in the American context. And I do think people are sort of scratching their heads saying, isn't this an award that is supposed to be in some sense based on achievements. And what are the achievements that one can point to in this case? And apart from the aspirational stuff, which is not really an achievement in that it hasn't been tested by the reality of being president of the United States of America in the world for very long, there isn't really a lot to point to.
Todd Lindbergh, he's editor of Policy Review and a research fellow at the Hoover Institution. I am really interested in what our listeners are going to have to say about this. I was at a gathering Saturday evening, and the jokes were just pouring forth. And I found myself sort of standing back and listening to these reactions and looking forward to what we might hear this morning. So do call us, 800-433-8850. Send us your email to drshow@wamu.org. Todd Lindbergh, did you view the awarding of the prize to President Obama as a rebuke of the Bush policy?
Oh, I think so. And I think it's the second time the Nobel Committee has risen to rebuke the George W. Bush administration, with the first probably being the Al Gore Prize. Now, that one at least had behind it a rather strong effort of advocacy on behalf of the issue. And Gore really did a lot to elevate the debate on climate change. And clearly, this was an area where the international community found the George W. Bush administration wanting. So it's not the first time. But I also don't think, though, that's the whole story. I don't think that if it had been, for example, if Senator Clinton, Secretary Clinton, had been were president now, which was not an implausible scenario, I rather doubt that she would have had, frankly, the kind of rock star appeal internationally that Obama has. Not to say that she wouldn't have been popular, not to say that the U.S. image in Europe would not have approved, not to say any of those things. I think that all would have been true as well. But there's something about Obama in this regard. He really does charm people, and I think that the speeches he's given have been designed in a way to cultivate opinion internationally and to try to improve it. It's an investment Obama has made. But as I said, what we haven't seen is the test of it. What are the outcomes? What actually comes of this in policy terms? It's too soon to tell.
Here is exactly what the Nobel Committee said. Obama has, as president, created a new climate in international politics. Multilateral diplomacy has regained a central position, with emphasis on the role that the United Nations and other international institutions can play. So, EJ, it wasn't so much what he might do in the future, but rather what the Nobel Committee, at least, felt he had already done.
Right. Well, the mere act that he got elected changed the direction of American politics. My friend Harold Meyerson at the Post said maybe they should have given the prize to the American electorate, because they were sending a signal about the change in the direction of America in the world. But I think that when you look at the politics of the Nobel Committee and the politics of Western Europe, this move was very much welcomed by most Western Europeans. And so I think they were, in a sense, admirably explicit in explaining why they wanted to give this. Now, a lot of people sort of look at this and say this is giving him the gold medal at the start of the race, the Tom Tolles cartoon in the Post. And I thought one of my favorite responses was from Rick Hertzberg in The New Yorker, who said that if he were to get a gift from Scandinavia, he would have preferred that the meeting at Copenhagen had awarded the Olympics to Chicago than to get a Nobel Prize that was going to be so controversial. Just a quick point on that, by the way. When Chicago didn't get the Olympics, a lot of our conservative friends said, aha, he hasn't even improved America's image in the world. He can't deliver the Olympics for Chicago. Then when this happened, it was, oh, those Europeans just love Obama. Well, you can make one argument or the other, but I don't think you can make both.
Well, I do think you can make both. I mean, DJ and I were talking about this a little bit before the show, but I admit it's an interesting point, but the International Olympic Committee is not Europe. It's a lot of other places, including the southern part of the world? And that's an interesting question, actually. I think that there's obviously this huge affinity for Obama in European capitals and among publics. But if you look at the policy orientation of the administration so far, I think it's got a distinctive kind of north-south aspect to it. It's not just Obama looking to the old world, the old continent, for reassurance, for partners, for ways of doing business. It's actually him looking in a southern direction. I'm, by the way, much indebted to my Hoover colleague, Timothy Garton-Ash, who made this point well in a recent column. And I think that there is also, if you travel in Europe now, there is a distinct worry. And the distinct worry is that America is not that interested in Europe anymore. That specifically, that the real geostrategic and political action in the world has moved elsewhere. And there's the question of how reliable a partner Europe is going to be in the future. And obviously this has something to do with Afghanistan, and it has something to do with years of tension from the Bush administration, a lot of the legal kind of hangover, the difficulty of closing Guantanamo, et cetera. But a lot of it is also about the concern that Europe is becoming too self-centered, too insular, too inward-looking, and that the Americans, lacking a kind of reliable European partner, will look elsewhere in order to find one. So it's a complicated picture, I think, the European question right at the moment.
Could I also say, I think one of the reasons Obama has developed such popularity in Europe is there's a kind of leadership vacuum in a lot of countries in Europe right now. And I think a lot of Europeans were happy to see a new exciting face on the international stage.
E.J. Dionne of the Brookings Institution and the Washington Post. Short break and your calls when we come back. 800-433-8850. And we have a great number of email. I'll try to get to a good many. Here's one from Roger in Cary, North Carolina, who says, Republican Michael Steele's response to the Obama Nobel win characterizes the attitude of many prominent Republicans today. His negative comments speak more about the modern Republican character than it does Obama. He goes on to say, if Obama had found a cure for cancer, Republicans would criticize him for not spending more time on a cure for cerebral palsy. What do you think about that, Tom?
Well, I think the problem is that Obama has not found a cure for cancer or done the things that one traditionally does before getting a big prize like
Should
the Nobel Prize.
Should he have refused the prize?
Well, you know, I think that it does not seem as if that was something the White House thought very seriously about or that he thought seriously
no,
about.
No, but do you think he should?
Well, you know, I think that once it's done, the real question is how you handle it. And, you know, he did not solicit this prize. Let's be fair about that.
Yeah.
This came as a surprise by all accounts
to the
White House. It's not like somebody was out in Norway lobbying for the Nobel Prize.
So, yes or no? Do you think he should have refused the
prize? No, but I don't think he needed to refuse the prize. I do think he needed to, A, approach the acceptance, the award of the prize with an important degree of humility, which I think the speech did that.
Yeah.
And the second thing is, I think he needs to give a really good speech when he goes to accept this award, and I think that it needs to be Americans need reassuring on this point. They need to know that this is going to be that he is the American president and not going out and appealing mainly to an international constituency.
EJ, should President Obama have refused the prize?
The answer is no. And I think the people who are saying that were trying to figure out how they could criticize him. They could criticize the Nobel Committee all they wanted, but what they were really doing is looking to criticize him. And so his mere act of accepting the prize becomes some kind of arrogance, is in their view. That's the kind of case they're trying to run. And I think he saw that coming. As I say, I think that if you asked Barack Obama, would he have rather won this or not, I think he would say, I wish they had passed me up this year, because he could see all of this coming. And, you know, why are we at this, particularly difficult moment? If unemployment were at 8% and dropping and not at 9.8% and rising, or so we fear, then the mood would be different. And I don't think you would see the Republicans on the offensive quite the same way. There's just been a ferocity. And I must say, this is odd to say, I shouldn't be surprised, but I have been surprised at how ferocious the response to Obama has been, because Obama is not some radical left Democrat. I mean, talk to people on the left and they will say, well, look, he is not fighting all that hard for the public option. He has, bailed out Wall Street. He put saving the American economy above taking action against Wall Street. There are a whole bunch of ways in which he is actually a moderate president, and yet he has aroused this unbelievably intense opposition on the right. And as I say, it shouldn't surprise me, but it does.
It's fascinating, the criticism of the Nobel Prize Committee. Conservative columnist George Will said on ABC's This Week, the Nobel Prize Committee would, with this decision, have forfeited its reputation for seriousness if it had a reputation for seriousness. And then Bob Schieffer, host of CBS's Face the Nation, said, I generally agree with the president's approach on foreign policy, but the Nobel Committee did him no favors. What the Nobel Committee has managed to change, and I'm sorry to say it, is the way we look on the prize.
Well, two things on that. One is that I think a lot of people who are for Obama were surprised by this. So I don't think you can say this surprise was limited just to the right-wing fringe. My friend David Ignatius, writing in the Post blog, said, you know, it's a great thing that America's popular in the world again. Obama did a good thing. It's just a little weird to reward it with a prize. Weird was the word he used. So I think that this view that this was a surprising thing is not confined to the sort of fever swamps of the right or thoughtful people on the right. But, you know, the other side of it is the Nobel has always been used to send signals. And when we cheer the politics behind it, particularly, for example, when they have rewarded human rights activists in the past by way of putting pressure on oppressive regimes, we say that's a great use of the Nobel Prize. So to say that this has fundamentally altered the nature of this prize, I just think it's not true. The Nobel Committee has always used it this way.
Well, it's also, I mean, what have you done for me lately? I mean, if you've got a prize that has been, what do Henry Kissinger and Mother Teresa have in common, apart from the enmity of Christopher Hitchens? I think they won the Nobel Prize. It's a complicated award. Does it have credibility when it gives it to somebody credible? I think people regard it as credible when it does something odd, or controversial, then I think people do question the credibility. And remember, this is, you know, this is five people selected by the Norwegian Parliament. It is not a it is not the judgment of history.
All right. People are asking whether, in fact, this award is going to help or hurt President Obama on both his domestic and foreign agenda. Let's talk first about Afghanistan. Is there pressure from this award to do what perhaps those on the peace side want him to do in Afghanistan?
Time. I would regard that as almost entirely illusory. I don't think that this pressures him. I think that there's a lot of pressure on him with regard to Afghanistan.
Anyway.
And it seems rather clear that the administration is balking at a troop level that General McChrystal has in mind at the moment, that they don't like that, that they want to think about that some more. That's all going on internally. There's a huge process. The idea that, five Norwegians is going to have a dispositive influence on Afghanistan strikes me as rather fanciful.
I don't think it has any effect at all in that respect. I mean, there are those who'll say, well, it'll look odd if he announces any troop increase in Afghanistan because he won the Nobel Prize. But folks who are going to say that would have been critical of him if he increased troops in Afghanistan at all. I think that I agree with Todd. I don't think this has any effect on a decision like that.
All right. Let's talk about the domestic agenda. What about health care, EJ? Any effect in terms of the, as you call it, really the extent of the criticism he's received because he's won the Nobel Peace Prize? Is that going to translate into harm on any of the programs he's trying to put forward?
Well, I was thinking maybe it would have been better if they had given him the Nobel Prize in Medicine for trying to get every American insured, we being the only rich country in the world that doesn't do that. And then we would have had a really interesting discussion today. Domestically, I think you have run into a point in the Obama term where he's been around enough that people are starting to poke fun at him more than they did when he started, when it was sort of all hope and change. And now you're going through a normal process. And, you know, there have been stories about this lately where, comedians at night are making fun of him. And I think we live in a democracy. It's great to make fun of any it's great that comedians can make fun of any president. And I think this will just enter into that mix. The people who, like Obama, will either defend the prize or attack those attacking the prize. And the other folks are going to make fun of it. And I just think I think it just plays a little bit into a narrative that some of the right is trying to create of Obama kind of being above it all. Remember the McCain ad. He's the biggest celebrity in the world. This just brings back that line of critique. But again, I think it just reinforces something that's already out there.
You know, but EJ, I mean, the thing is that that's actually true. I mean, it's not just a...
He is the biggest celebrity in the world.
Fiction.
I agree with that.
And, you know, with celebrity come the burdens of celebrity. And one of them is that you know, you need to pull it off without creating the impression that you're better and bigger than other people.
So what do you want to hear? What do you want to hear in his speech when he accepts the Nobel Peace Prize?
Well, what I would like to hear, I think, is something that speaks to the values of democracy, of human rights, of solidarity with those who are working for those things abroad, of the recognition that even when we have to make difficult political choices internationally, as we do in places like Afghanistan, we need to be mindful of the effect of what we do on the lives of the people who live there. And we need to keep our commitments, that these are the real strengths that America has shown through war and peace and rebuilding, and that is what he wants to commit his administration to. I think, by the way, that the Human Rights Community would breathe a huge sigh of relief if he gave a speech like that, because there are some suspicions at the moment that that the focus of this administration has moved in a direction more of realpolitik and less willingness to do things like meet with the Dalai Lama.
EJ.
I think I agree with half of what Todd just said. I do think that he can use this to talk about human rights and indeed can look back on past Nobel winners who won it because of their work on human rights and can do himself some good. The part I disagree with is Todd is implying that he should also use it to announce that he will support General McChrystal's proposal in Afghanistan. I don't think there was a sort of an underlying implication there. I think that what's odd is that given the controversy around this prize, he's going to have to speak to the world, but he's also going to have to talk back to America, because the harshest judges of this will be in the United States, as have been the harshest judges of the Nobel Committee in awarding him this prize.
All right. We've got many callers waiting. Let's open the phones now, 800-433-8850. Don't forget, you can send us email. You can reach us by Facebook or Twitter. Let's go first to Birmingham, Alabama. Sims, you're on the air.
Yes. Hi, Diane.
How are you doing? Fine, thanks.
Great conversation. Yeah, I think the Nobel Prize awarded to President Obama, it's not just significant to him, but again, as your guests have indicated, it's focused on America and his role in the world. I think it has more significance in terms of impacting other countries in order to make them step up and take a more active role in what President Obama has espoused up to this point. And if other countries can feed off this, and other world leaders can feed off this, and they have a part to play as we go forward with not only nuclear proliferation or human rights or whatever. On a domestic front, I don't think it's going to have any impact at all on his domestic agenda. I think he's still going to have to go out and sell health care. I think he's still going to have to go out and sell all the things that he needs to make this economy grow and become more stable.
All right, Sims, thanks for your call. At 27 before the hour, you're listening to the Diane Rehm Show. EJ.
I think that's a very sensible view. The gentleman should just be sitting here with us and join our discussion. I think that in particular, there is reason for even critics of this award to hope that it would strengthen the president in pursuing objectives he's laid out that I think a lot of Americans share, even across these bitter divides that we're seeing here.
All right. To Jacksonville, Florida. Good morning, Bruce.
Good morning, Diane. Good morning to your panel.
Hi.
My question or comment is one that is hypothetical or speculative at this point, but I would wonder what would President Obama's critics say if he would have turned down the award.
Because I think it's a good question, EJ or Todd.
Well, it is an interesting question. I think that there would have been you still get the prestige of having been given the award even if you turn it down. But I suppose there would have been a certain inclination to find that a sign of arrogance, too, if you actually did turn it down. In other words, I think sometimes you see what you're looking for. And it was a surprise. I think in one of the things that's interesting about the Post headline referred to ire, presumably among conservatives, about the award. I don't know about this ire. I thought most people thought it was rather funnier than anger inducing. And I, by the way, think that this is the first real opportunity that many of President Obama's supporters have had to actually have a little bit of a laugh at his expense. I mean, how does he find himself in this kind of a situation?
Right. No, but first of all, I honor Todd for acknowledging that his critics would probably have figured out a way to turn that, if he had turned it down, into a negative as well. And yes, I mean, you know, Todd is right that even Obama supporters were looking at this and shaking their heads a little bit at how early this was in his term. So it wasn't simply the critics who were surprised by this. As I say, I think Barack Obama himself was as surprised as anyone.
But this was the moment in his term, if you're going to do something like that. I think it would be extremely difficult for the Nobel Committee to give it a prize like this, say, 2 or 3 years into a presidential term, or for that matter, even six or seven. Because American presidents have to make hard choices about war and peace, and often ones that are very difficult to make internationally. I mean, I think the moment is now. It's sort of the advantage of aspiration. The American president is not necessarily the font of all. Of all that is,
and they would have been criticized for trying to influence the midterm elections or Obama's reelection. I mean,
well, they might well have had in mind, but in any case, yeah.
But isn't the aspirational point one that the president himself echoed? He talked about the aspirations for hope and peace and all the rest of it, and isn't the Nobel Committee acknowledging that effort as a change on the part of the United States, EJ?
No, that's absolutely right. I think that's why he got the prize. And they, I mean, their statement was about as explicit on that as you could be. And there are a lot of people around the world, those polls that, particularly in Europe, those polls Todd cited are absolutely right, who welcome this new role for the United States. And it's, you know, what's funny is that in many ways, Obama is returning us to our traditional post-war foreign policy that goes from Roosevelt to Truman through Ronald Reagan, even to some degree, when you look back on Reagan, was more multilateral and internationalist than this little 8-year interlude that we had.
Let's be careful about this 8-year. If you have to make a distinction between, European publics, European op-ed pages, and European governments, everybody knows that there was a kind of doctrinal unilateralism in the first Bush term, but that they really tried to address that in the second.
They did change some. It's true.
E.J. Dionne, Todd Lindbergh, and you. You are an important part of this program. I look forward to hearing from you.
National broadcast of The Diane Rehm Show is made possible in part by American University, by the Robert Wood Johnson Foundation, informing health reform with policy research, data, and expert commentary on the web at healthreform.org, by the Gruber Family Foundation to extend the breadth and depth of NPR's international coverage, and by the John D. and Catherine T. MacArthur Foundation, committed to building a more just, verdant, and peaceful world. More information at macfound.org. This is NPR.
Former MASH star Mike Farrell on The Spirit of America. The actor recounts his cross-country travels in a Prius and conversations he had with activists, friends, and family to promote social justice in every neighborhood. The Diane Rehm Show, next hour. Here's an email from David, who said, although I was shocked to see Obama awarded the Peace Prize, he did not seek this. However, sometimes you need to just say congratulations and move on, as I believe was Senator McCain's response. By constantly criticizing everything Obama, the Republicans come off as spiteful and risk losing credibility and becoming nothing more than white noise.
Well, I think if you take Obama out of that sentence and put Bush into that sentence, you would have a perfectly reasonable statement from the other side about the late 2008 period and the previous administration. Partisan sentiments are running pretty high at the moment. I do think, by the way, that the observation is correct, not only about Senator McCain, but also about official Republicandom, Republican elected officials more generally. I mean, obviously, some people think that there's some hay to be made over this, but I think if you look at what people are saying from Capitol Hill now, it's congratulations and move on.
Well, first of all, good for John McCain. I mean, that was the right response. He is a gentleman, and that was the right response. But there's a lot of this going around that liberals were just like this with President Bush. They were just like this with President Bush after about 6 years of him. If you go back to the period before 9/11, there were still a lot of liberals. I'm one of them who are very mad about what happened in Florida, but we still, I don't think, had the ferocity that you're seeing against Obama.
You don't see that is because that was on your side. And believe me,
the 6 months into Bush's term. Ted Kennedy worked with George Bush to pass No Child Left Behind. Democrats in Congress worked with Bush. They've split, but they to pass the prescription drug benefit. Then after 9/11, there was unprecedented unity around the president. Even if you go back and look my own column, so that I think this notion that liberals were just like this with Bush at the end, yes, they were very upset, but not in the first 8 months of his term.
Well, I think you're entirely understating the implications of Florida in response to that, where the legitimacy of Bush was very much
all
in
right,
question.
And I was one of them, but even then, we were not this ferocious, I think.
All right, let's go to Cassandra in Silver Spring, Maryland. Good morning. You're on the air.
Good morning, and thank you for an opportunity to put my two cents worth into
Certainly.
This discussion. First of all, it's a tremendous honor for President Barack Obama and for the people of the United States that he has been awarded the Nobel Peace Prize. I'd like to note that this is not affirmative action for black presidents. This is because of Obama's affirmative actions, both here at home in the United States and on the world stage, in the short amount of time that he has been in office. But let's not forget that that was preceded by a lengthy campaign in which the entire world and the country had an opportunity to take the measure of this man, and we managed to elect him president of the United States and therefore leader of the free world. He deserves respect for that achievement alone. But in addition to that, let us note his achievements in these past few months so that we can get beyond the predictable pitter-patter that's going on about this award.
Cassandra, thank you for your call. Todd.
Well, I think that's a message from a very strong Obama supporter. And I think that is there's a lot going on in that. The thing about electing a leader of the free world is that's a very American-centered perspective on what we do. The United States is the biggest power in the world. There's no question about it. A lot of people around the world feel very influenced by what Americans decide every 4 years. And clearly, Obama's aware of that, and he has made a concentrated effort to try a different kind of approach. And as I said, I mean, I think that the what we haven't really seen is the way in which the rhetoric that he has developed and the presentation that he has made will survive and grow or be diminished in the crucible of events.
I have the feeling that what people are reacting to is the ridicule that has been heaped upon not only the president, but the Nobel Prize Committee for the honor of awarding this prize to the President of the United States. And they're taken aback by it.
Right. Well, I think who knows how everybody would have reacted if this had been an award for President Bush. But I can imagine the pushback from our friends on the right if liberals had said this is a terrible thing. I mean, it's hard to imagine the Nobel Committee awarding President Bush, so it's a hard hypothetical. But I want to point, the caller made one very interesting point. She made a number of interesting points, but the one I want to focus on is about the 2008 campaign. I think that campaign made America look good in the world, and it was very helpful to us as a country that constantly talks about, and I think really does believe in democracy and democratic forms, in the possibility of democracy to transform countries. A lot of the world was fascinated by what we did, how long it lasted, the seriousness of the debate, the enthusiasm that the high turnout, relatively speaking, for us. And I think that had an effect on the world. And I think the caller's right that it was not simply Obama as Obama. It was not simply whatever he has managed to achieve in this short time. It was also looking all the way back to what happened in 2008.
All right. To San Antonio, Texas. Good morning, Christy.
Yes, good morning. I'm calling to share an experience that illustrates one of your panelists' earlier comments. The comment being that the reaction to this award speaks much more about modern Republican character than of Obama himself. And my experience is that last year I lived and worked in Värmland, Sweden, which is right on the border of Norway, and in Italy also, as a nanny. And I have many, many friends from that area. And as you remember, last year when he was elected, the whole world was aglow and lit up with applause because of the election of Obama. And I find it just sort of peculiar because all of the reactions that I saw from my international friends were very positive and congratulatory, whereas, you know, my friends here in America, and specifically my good friends in Norway who are American, who married Norwegians, have been saying things like, oh, well, Norwegians know very little. You know, they have a very myopic view of Americans, and they don't understand, blah, 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 blah. And I just find it so peculiar that it's suddenly the Nobel Committee, the esteemed Nobel Committee, is being cheapened, you know, is suddenly being questioned by people because of this choice. And I find that really unfortunate.
Christy, thanks for your call. Tom?
Well, the Nobel Committee gets questioned every time it gives an award. Now, some awards are more questionable than others. Fewer are those who would object on the Mother Teresa grounds, a lifetime of achievement dedicated to the service of the poor. The criticism is about what, you know, is about the beef. Where is the record? What is the set of achievements to which the administration? Yeah, maybe we got the question backwards. Maybe the question shouldn't be what achievements has the president achieved that have made him deserving of the award. Maybe the answer to the question what are his achievements is that he received the award.
Well, I think the argument is, did the fact that Obama has shifted American foreign policy to the extent that it has and the impact that that could have on the world, is that a worthy ground for giving him this award? I think people who are sympathetic to Obama, including those who were surprised that he got the award, say, well, you can make a decent case for that. I think that's what the caller was saying. And boy, is she right. I think all of us who have friends in Europe have noticed exactly what she said. We had the 16-year-old daughter of a dear German friend visiting us this summer, and she is one of, you know, thousands of Europeans deeply devoted to and excited by Barack Obama. There's no question that he has a standing in Europe that we haven't seen in a long time.
All right.
With an American president.
To Winston-Salem, North Carolina. Hello, Hamdi. You're on the air.
Yes, good morning. I do agree with your the previous caller that called that this is like an active protest from European against the failed policy of Republicans for 8 years. And it is a renewing trust of the administration of the United States that they are able to lead the world through peaceful process for better achievement of every single person in the world. And I'd like that to be taken in a sense of we are able to do it. As Obama said, we can do it. We can spread the peace and reduce the tension that has been created by failed Republican policy all over the world.
Right. Well, yeah, okay. I guess where to begin is just to say that I think that Barack Obama knows that he's president of the United States of America and that he has to look to American interests around the world. And I think that his aspiration to do so in a way that pleases the rest of the world is a fine thing. But the first priority is actually to secure those interests, and that means things like, making good on our commitment in Afghanistan.
All right, here is an email from Jerry, who says, President Obama's accomplishment is this. In a country with an overwhelmingly racist past, civil war, Reconstruction, the KKK, assassinations, beatings, murders, this African-American man had the courage, skill, intelligence to run for president and win in an overwhelming way. Isn't this enough for one man who, by his very existence, has created a sea change in this country? Only now do we see the ugly racism rearing its head once again. EJ.
Well, I think that if you are looking for why Obama is so significant historically, and I think that is part of what the Nobel Committee was rewarding here, then there's no question that his race, the fact that he overcame this past, I think I have a slightly more complicated view than the writer. I think we do have deep racism in our past. I also think as a country we've struggled with that racism from the start, and it makes us, in an odd way, we've had more struggle with this issue, I think, than most countries in the world. Nonetheless, he's right that there was racism. But, you know, in a way, I think that if you want to defend this prize, you don't just want to hang it on Barack Obama as a historical figure. The defense that the Nobel Committee would make, has to make, is that it's the impact of Obama on the trajectory of sort of policy in the world. And that's the case they would make, and that's where this thing has to be defended.
Well, I don't know. I mean, I think that's one of the most interesting points I've heard made in this debate so far, the point that you – from that email that you just read. It is a kind of watershed moment. And I think that that Americans ought to be proud of the ability, at least, to put race behind in that sense. But of course, it wasn't the citation. That's not what the Nobel Committee said in awarding it. So in a way, that it's kind of an American take on what Obama has accomplished just by getting elected.
At 7 before the hour, you're listening to the Diane Rehm Show.
Could I just add to
sure.
that? Because I do think it is an American take, but it's also a world take. We looked at what happened in South Africa and made some judgments about Nelson Mandela and his courage. So it's not surprising that the world would look in at us and make a judgment on this basis. It's actually underscoring your earlier point.
Yeah.
Let's go now to Westminster in West Vermont. Good morning. You're on the air, Leslie.
Hi, thank you for taking my call.
Sure.
I would definitely agree with the last email that you read, that I think his achievement of reaching this position in the world, not just for the U.S., but in the fact that he did that and then has created an opening for a new dialogue worldwide, is a huge achievement. And I think if he had been from anywhere else in the world, he would have gotten the Nobel Prize just for that. That said, I was delighted. I was surprised that he was given it. I thought he was humble. I thought he was gracious. I think he, in his acceptance, said it was a call to all of us to work for peace, and I really take that to heart. And I think it's just a really sad commentary and statement on the prospect for world peace that people are arguing with so much vitriol about a peace prize. And I think we need to put our energies in, I hope, what he will also call to us in his acceptance speech, that it's time to start working for peace and time to stop arguing.
Do you think, EJ, that there could actually be something of a backlash against those who have ridiculed this prize?
I think you're hearing it on this show. I think that there are... You know, that Barack Obama has something that Ronald Reagan had, which is a very strong base in the American electorate. He has a lot of people who are with him and are going to back him even in the face of the harshest attacks. And you're hearing that on this show today, and that this is bringing that out. I think the interesting question politically, if which I take it as a political question, is how are middle-of-the-road independents, undecided voters going to – what are they going to make of this? And I think at a certain point, the vitriol turns them off. In other words, I think that there may have been – an initial effect of this, pushing them away from Obama. Gee, he was supposed to solve all this. But I think the vitriol has a price. But in the end, I think that middle is going to decide on the basis of how well they think the country is doing. On her point about how he responded, Obama's a very skilled politician. He reacted exactly as he had to. I think the one area where I sense agreement across most of these divides is when he walked out there and spoke in those humble words, he was reacting the only way he could.
Absolutely. What about this $1 million prize, which he has said is going to charity? Is there any speculation about where it's going, Todd?
Gee, I hadn't heard anything about that at all. I mean, obviously it's the right thing to do with the money.
Yeah.
I think it's going to be a fascinating choice that he has to make. And I have not heard where they're thinking of giving it. But boy, it's an interesting – that will send a powerful political signal all by itself.
All right. I'll read you the very last email from Chris in Falls Church, who says, can't we just be proud of something once in a while? All of us, deserved or undeserved, earned or not. It's an honor. Let's be gracious and see if we can't help Obama and our country live up to it. I think those are good last words. E.J. Dionne, Todd Lindbergh, thank you both so much.
Thank you, Diane.
Thank you.
Thanks for listening, all. I'm Diane Rehm.
The Diane Rehm Show is produced by Sandra Pinkard, Nancy Robertson, Jonathan Smith, Susan Neighbors, and Denise Couture. The engineer is Toby Schreiner. Dori Anisman answers the phones. Visit drshow.org for audio archives and CD sales, transcripts from SoftScribe, and podcasts. Call 202-885-1200 for more information. Our email address is drshow@wamu.org. This program comes to you from American University in Washington. This is NPR, National Public Radio.